This message was recorded live at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plantation, Florida. Welcome to PlantationSDA.tv. Here you will find a diverse variety of Bible-based topics and conversations. God's master plan to inspire your mind, bring peace to your heart, and uplift your soul. May you be blessed and encouraged as you listen to God's Word.
Good evening. Wonderful to be with you tonight. I'll tell you, that song was so beautiful. I really don't think you need to hear much more, but the Lord has given me a message to share with you tonight. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for each person that has taken the time out of a busy schedule to be here tonight. Thank you for each person who by faith has shut off Netflix or Hulu or whatever they would normally watch tonight to join you tonight. Father, I pray, Lord, please, that the time we spend together will be well worth the time we've taken to connect with you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when I was a child, I used to have the same reoccurring dream whenever I would have a high temperature. I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but if my temperature is running too high in the middle of the night and I got too hot, I would have this waking dream. It was a terrible dream because what would happen in this dream, and it was the same dream, it would start the same way every single time. The world was ending, my father was the first person to die, and it was all my fault. And I will tell you, it was a horrifying dream. It was like the beginning of some kind of an apocalyptic movie. It always started on a playground. There were kids playing on the playground. I was playing on the playground, and I was never entirely sure what I had done. But whatever it was going to cause my father to die first, and he died before my eyes, and then it would cause the end of the world. And the dream was so vivid that I would actually wake up, and I don't know if you've ever experienced this before, it's the most terrifying thing, but a waking dream where I was both conscious and unconscious at the same time. I'd be running through the house screaming, saying, the world is gonna end. It's all my fault. Daddy's dead. How can we fix this terrible thing? And you could ask me questions. My mother would ask me questions. And now the name my mother used to use when I was little was Bobby. She'd say, Bobby, where are you right now? I'm in the house, but the world's gonna end. I'm in the house. Dad is dead, it's my fault. And she would ask me questions, and finally they would put me in a cold shower. And finally, when my body temperature came back down to normal, the dream would subside. And I'd be able to go back to sleep. And it got to the point where even now, and I don't get sick very often, but when I get overheated, I'm running a temperature, that dream will start. But I know now to get up when that dream starts and get into a cold shower and get my temperature down. I don't know how many of you deal with that kind of a burden in your dreams. I don't know how many of you think about that, but we're talking about that kind of an experience here today. In Genesis, towards the end of Genesis 1, God creates man. And the Bible says that unlike the other creatures in the garden, God got down in the dirt and he built a man out of the clay of the ground. He took time with his own hands to bond with his creation. It's the only place where everything else was brought into existence by the word of God, but man. Man was created with God's own hand. And the Bible says that when God created man, God didn't just speak life into man. could understand, friends, how special we are. When God said we are going to make man in our own image and in our likeness. I don't think we understand and will only truly understand the uniqueness of humanity until we get into the kingdom of heaven. In God's likeness, connected to God in a special way. God made us in a special way. He took the time to create us in a special way. And then he gave Adam by himself dominion of the Garden of Eden. Now, this is a fascinating story because this is also a love story, not just between God and man, but God, as he created woman, he wanted there to be a special bond between God, between man and woman, the creation that happened after Adam. Bible says that God allowed Adam to go into a deep sleep, a heavenly anesthesia, and he fell asleep and God took a rib. And from the DNA of Adam, he took that rib. Now think about where a rib is. In my mind's eye, and the Bible doesn't say it, and that's why I'm the preacher. If you want to be the preacher, sometime you can tell the story the way you see it. But when I read the Bible, I see it and I feel it in three dimensions. And sometimes it's overwhelming to me as I read the story and I see God there with Adam. Take out that rib, however he chose to take it out. And then with Adam's DNA from that rib to create another perfect, beautiful human being. Can't imagine. I don't think we can wrap our minds around how perfect Eve and Adam were. And God just didn't make Eve perfect to God's specifications. God got to know Adam before. He got to know what Adam would want and what Adam would look for. He created Eve especially for Adam to be his special friend, to be his helpmate, to be one with Adam. Get this, friends, get this here. To be one with Adam in the same way God was one with his son, Jesus Christ. I want you to understand this, friends, because it's the depth of the relationship that is so important. Friends, as you read the Bible, I'm going to challenge you because our church is reading through the Bible over this next several months in the deeper dive. Try to understand that it's all about a relationship. To God, relationships are central. Everything in the Bible is relational. So many times in modern society, we've gotten things down to nuts and bolts that we forget the relationship that God is trying to develop with his people. And I will tell you, as we start moving into the book of Exodus, you will see God desperately trying to establish a relationship with his people, with his people. And I want to tell you tonight that you are God's people tonight. I don't know how many of you have truly had a soulmate before. So many people strive for that soulmate experience with somebody. And I will tell you that it's probably only a very few people in this world that truly meet somebody that they connect with that way. Many people, I think, finally give up. And when you said, and I'm going to make fun of people right now, and I'm so sorry, but you know, you can see some person actually trap somebody into marriage, and they're walking around with this ring like Smeagol on Lord of the Rings. I've got the precious. I've got some poor sucker to marry me, and now all the compromises I've made, we've got this relationship together, and I've got it, and it's gonna be good. But so many times we sacrifice so many things just to get to that point that we're starting on an uneven foot. And the focus isn't the marriage, the focus should be the relationship. Adam saw Eve, but first of all, he developed the sense of need for her. You know, you don't just have a relationship of two people that just sort of, okay, it's like a business relationship and we're like business partners and this is what you're going to do and this is... Adam was able to walk through the garden and see the other animals in twos and question, why am I alone? And then God made Eve for Adam and introduced him to her. Now, the beautiful thing about this relationship is there was nobody else. Eve became Adam's all. Now, I believe that in the Garden of Eden, people could communicate with animals. Probably not just like chatting like Dr. Doolittle, but I believe, and listen, those of you who are dog lovers, you know I talk to my dog all the time. And I think my dog understands about 25% of what I say to her. And she tries to communicate with me. I can see sometimes she's looking at me in such a way that she's trying to tell me something. Usually that my wife is sneaking out of the house with the other dog to go for a walk, and my puppy wants me to go with. And she'll just look at me. She'll just try to make eye contact. She's trying to communicate. I think that there is a level of communication, but to have somebody who, when you talk, truly understands not just what you're saying, but what you mean by what you're saying. Somebody who lives to make you smile. Somebody who makes you smile. Somebody who, when you get up in the morning, you wake up and you see them and you thank God that they're in your life. Friend, I don't think there's one of us that doesn't wish for that kind of a connection with somebody. Adam and Eve had that kind of a connection. And if anybody here has ever lost a soulmate in their lives, for whatever reason, somebody who you know, you've met, who you've connected with, but the timing wasn't right. The situation wasn't right. You were pre-committed in another relationship and you walked away. You know the feeling of a truly broken heart. And as Adam and Eve lived in the garden together, they grew closer and closer. We don't know how long they were in the Garden of Eden. Just the two of them with one mind. Have you ever had that friend where you can just look at them and you know what they're thinking? I'll tell you that I have a relationship like that with my son. My son and I are wired so closely together, intellectually and spiritually, that I can look at him within a circumstance together and I can know what he's thinking because I'm thinking the same thing. If you've had a friend like that, you've had a connection with somebody like that, you start to get a glimpse of the relationship Adam had with Eve. They were designed for each other by God. And in the garden, in Genesis 2, verse 15 through 17, there was just one test of their fidelity to God. Just one test. You would think that if there was a test that you were given with only one question, and the answer was given to you ahead of time, you would pass the test. I'm a school principal. I would love tests like that. I would love test scores like that for my students. We would do great. One test. You can eat of every single tree in the garden. It wasn't like this is a kind of fruit of trees that grow all over the garden, and if you happen to eat one of the fruits of those trees all over the garden, you're going to get sick and die. That's not one tree in the middle of the garden. There was one tree in the garden, the tree of life, that would help you live happily forever. There was another tree in the garden, the tree of knowledge and good and evil. You eat of that tree, and you're going to die. You know, it's easy to get grumpy with Adam and Eve in the story. Until I look at my own life, I'm not going to look at yours. And I realize how many times I've failed God. Scripture says that Eve was in the garden one day. In the spirit of prophecy, Ellen White talks about the fact that Eve separated from her husband. You got to picture this, friends, because she realized that she was intellectually powerful on her own, which she was. She knew the difference between good and evil on her own, which she probably did. And I think there was a brief moment of independence, which she appreciated. You see, something we've got to realize is Adam and Eve were equal. But Eve was subservient to Adam. You can be both equal and subservient in every single relationship you have. There is one person who is dominant, and there is another person who is subservient to the other. That doesn't mean that you're the one that always washes the socks. Listen, I get trouble in my house because sometimes I do the laundry and my wife gets grumpy with me. You did the laundry, didn't you? Yeah, just trying to help out. But there's a special way to do the... You guys know, you're married people. You know what I'm talking about. Because when you have a relationship with somebody who you love and you cherish, sometimes being in the subservient position is wonderful. But she was enjoying the power of being alone. And I will tell you, friends, we've got to be careful with that, especially in our relationship with God. There are times in our life where we think we can walk alone. Be careful. Be careful when you walk alone. She walked by the tree. And some of you know the story, but some of you don't. And so I'm going to tell the story because I remember when I was in high school and I had a girlfriend who was going to the Christian school with me, but she had been grown up in a non-Christian home. And the Bible teacher used to say, well, you all know the story. And my girlfriend, Lori, would say, no, I don't know the story. And we would sit after class and I'd tell the Bible stories. Eve walks by the tree, and in the tree there was a serpent, but not like the kind of serpent that we see today, a beautiful winged creature, multicolored, absolutely fantastic, not some creepy crawly thing, and it spoke to her. Said, now listen, Eve. I know that God said, if you eat this fruit, you're going to die. But in the Robert Stevenson Standard Version, God is holding out on you. Because if you eat this fruit, you're going to know what God knows. Friends, this is important because it's our faith in God that saves us. And when we have faith in God, we do what He asks us to do, sometimes even when we don't understand why. And you say, well, that doesn't make sense. I hated it when my parents told me, do what I tell you to do just because I said. Don't stick your finger in the 220 socket in the house, because I told you not to. Bad things will happen if you do. Listen, I've got permanent scars on my body for sticking my hand in a 220 volts electric heater in South Africa growing up. Almost killed me. You gotta trust your parents. But Eve was listening to the snake. There's always something else to listen to. Be careful who you're listening to. She was alone and there was no one to help her filter. And I will tell you, whether it was Adam and Lee alone or Eve alone, they were in trouble. Let's not pick on the girls right now. We're not in fifth grade anymore.
And the girls all have cooties.
No! When we separate from our Christian families. Friends, if you decide you can quit going to church because you don't need anybody to help hold you accountable, you and me and everybody needs help in staying accountable to God. So Eve's first sin, her first sin, was thinking that she could go it alone. Second sin, if you eat this fruit, you'll be like God. Friends, although we were created in God's image, trying to ascend to God's throne is insanity. A God who has always been and will always be, a God who created the universe by the sound of his voice. We cannot ascend to his throne. We can only fall at his feet. We will never be wise enough. We will never be smart enough. And I will tell you that there are parents out there today that wish their children didn't know some of the things that they knew. Just make a list, parents, of the things you wish your children would never know. Discouragement, hatred, bigotry, racism. We can make a list. To know what God knows, the God who has always been, there are things that God knows we should never want to know. What a beautiful world we would live in if Adam and Eve never had to know what evil was. Can I hear an amen? And so she picked the fruit, and it was beautiful, and it smelled nice. And then she ate the fruit. And it tasted good. And then all of a sudden she starts thinking about Adam. Where's my soulmate? I got to share this with him. This is really yummy. And she runs over to him and says, look, I was there at the tree. And the snake told me that it's really yummy. And I surely won't die. And so I took it. And here it is. And Adam knew. Listen, let's not miss this for a minute. Adam, with a perfect, clear mind, something that very few of us know anything about. An intellect beyond what we can understand in an oxygen-rich environment that we know that the antediluvian world had. Being able to think with the kind of mental clarity that we can't imagine. Adam knew. Adam knew that by eating that fruit, he would be condemning the rest of humanity to whatever fate death would be. And he had no idea what death was. No experience with death, never seen anything die. He just knew it was bad, very, very bad. Adam knew. But here's the thing, friends, that we got to realize that Adam dealt with. He couldn't think about living a day without his beloved Eve. She was flesh of his flesh. They were one mind. They were one soul. They looked at each other and they could think each other's thoughts. Have you ever known anybody like that? Every once in a while you meet that person and it's just so precious. And in his mind, he was going to choose between losing Eve or having her for the rest of what his life was going to look like. But he couldn't imagine living through eternity. Without that person whose heart had been interwoven with his. So while Eve is responsible for trying to live independently and not trusting God and eating the fruit, Adam sinned with selfishness. He put himself and his needs and his desires above everybody else. How do you fix that? How can you fix that as God had to go there and expel them from the garden to find them feeling naked and ashamed and sewing fig leaves together to cover themselves and hiding from God, their best friend and their creator? God comes into the garden and said, Adam and Eve, where are you? Why are you hiding from me? Well, we're hiding from you because all of a sudden we discovered we were naked. God knew. We believe that the plan of salvation had been decided before creation began. The sermon is called Mission Impossible. How do you wake up from that nightmare? Is there enough cold water and ice in the bathtub to be able to bring you back to reality? Have you ever done something? I remember when I was 16 and I was driving my dad's 1976 Honda Civic with a beautiful girl in the car next to me. We were going on a date in South Bend, Indiana, and we're going through and somebody pulled out in front of me in a 1970 Plymouth Duster, this huge car, and I couldn't stop in time. I hit that car doing about 35 miles an hour, spun three times in the middle of the traffic, landed on the side of the road. And one of the things that sticks in my mind quite clearly is the car's engine was still running, but it was underneath my seat. Reaching over, shutting the car off. Having to go to a payphone, this was back before cell phones, ages me a little bit. Put in the quarter, dial the number, call my dad and say, Dad, I killed the Honda. And I'm lucky to have the dad I did, because he said, son, are you okay? Yep. So, son, is Julie okay? That was the young lady I was with. I said, yes, she's fine. Little disorientated, but we're all fine. He said, we can replace the car, but we can't replace you. How do you fix it? How can you fix this? You know, in Newton's third law, I don't know how many of you are into physics, but here's Newton's third law. It says here, and I've got to read it because I don't want to paraphrase this too much. It says, states that every action or force in nature, there is an equal and opposite reaction. In other words, if A exerts force on object B, then B also exerts an equal opposite force onto A. Notice that the forces are exerted on different objects. Something equal to the sin of Adam and Eve had to happen in order to make things right. How do you do that? How do you find that? And God and Jesus, I see them sitting and talking. And let me tell you, there's some parallels here. God and Jesus were co-equals. But God the Father and God the Son, the Father was preeminent. If you want to do an interesting Bible study, and we don't have a time tonight to go into it, but there's text after text after text that shows that after Jesus, when Jesus was born and returned to earth, came to earth to save us, he was in constant communication with his Father. He did nothing without speaking to him. Over and over again, Jesus would take himself away and go into the wilderness and pray. After days of ministry, you think the ministry would be enough. He would then send his disciples off across the lake and go up into the mountains and pray. Jesus, who had been with his Father forever. This wasn't just a creation moment where maybe for a few hundred years they hung out in a garden together. These are two beings that, as far as we can tell in the scripture, had never been apart. They didn't tend some little garden patch on a brand new planet. They made the universe together. Can I say it, Lord, have mercy? And they looked at each other. And they said, there's only one way. Now, friends, you're going to be with me because this is the kind of sermon I have a hard time preaching because the reality of it hits me. And I'm going to try to hold it together when I tell this story. You see, the Christmas story is so powerful because when Jesus was born, the angels in heaven were so happy that God was restraining them. They wanted to tell everybody on earth about this incredible event that was happening, this incredible gift that was given to mankind. Do you realize the gift that God has given you today? When Jesus came down to this earth, there were angels begging, saying, God, please let us tell somebody. And finally, God, seeing the exuberance of the heavenly hosts, said, okay, there's a group of shepherds down there. I think there's a teenage shepherd amongst them that's pretty bored with shepherding. Let's see how scared you can make them tonight. You got to picture this, friends. These angels that literally the love of God was holding back show up in a bright light, as bright as day, in the middle of a dark, moonless night, and they're singing glory to God on the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill amongst men. And these poor, terrified shepherds, picture it. A documented extraterrestrial experience in the Bible as these angels tell them that the Son of God is born on earth. God, not striving to be God anymore, but coming down. You see the opposite reaction of Newton's law, coming down and subjugating himself in order to save you and me. Can I say praise God? Jesus will later on tell the story of the lost sheep and how the shepherd goes out to find his lost sheep, leaving the 99. One lost world. Have you ever seen the pictures of Hubble telescope? And looked at the vastness of the universe? One lost world in all of the heavenly creation. And God takes his Son. I will tell you, I have a son, 27 years old, strapping lad, works out just like his dad. He's my boy. And I will tell you right now, this is what a terrible person I am. Just so that you know, I've got a long way to go before the Lord can take me to his kingdom. Lord, help me. If it was a choice between your dying and my son, if your parents out there, you know what I'm talking about. Now, you may have some crazy little kid that you, but no. I'm not going to go there. My son who I told you we can look each other in the eye and know what each other is thinking, my son. My strapping son who, when I was there at Christmas, you know, I'm a bit of a physical nut, but being able to go into the gym and I'm weight training with my son, and in some areas he's getting stronger than I am, and it makes me so happy. Born a baby in a manger in a penniless household. Living with the pain and the misery of this earth, not having everything, giving up the 99 perfect planets in the universe to come here to counterbalance Newton's law. Eve wanted to be equal with God. The God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him can not perish but have eternal life. Jesus Christ, while he was on this earth, and friends, this is an important thing, while he was on this earth, I've already touched on this, prayed to his Father constantly. He lived a life of worship to his Father. He connected with his Father daily, constantly, in all he didn't say. Friends, we cannot afford to be disconnected from God. As Eve allowed herself to be disconnected from Adam, Jesus came to this world full of sin and degradation. You think that our world is bad now? And you think, oh, back in the good old days, he was in the Roman world. And if you're a historian, you will know that we've got nothing on the Romans. Nothing! They were a debaucherous, depraved race of human beings who spread their filth across the Mediterranean world. And Jesus Christ was born into a nation encaptured and ensnared by these people with a religious structure that wasn't even looking for the return of the Messiah, even though they had been told he's going to come again. And I'm going to tell you, friends, he's going to come again for you. Are you going to be ready this time? We weren't ready the first time. And then it was God the Father's turn to experience the pain. Now, there's a story that I shared once in a different sermon. I love stories about the ocean. I love to sail. I can handle just about any kind of sailing boat. I love it. If my wife was crazy enough to do it, we would be living on a sailing boat right now. The story says that there was a merchant ship returning from India to England. It was full of spices and treasures of the East. And while they were leaving the shores of Africa and heading up the coast of Portugal, they got caught in a terrible storm, and they were trying to manage the ship. And just briefly, the ship hit a reef, and it took some serious planking from underneath the ship, leaving a hole in the bottom of the boat in this terrible storm. Now, England was not in a good situation with Portugal. They couldn't wash ashore. They would all be taken prisoner, maybe even killed. And so they sent the ship's carpenter down to see if he could repair the hole in the ship. And the carpenter came up and said, "Sir, I don't think we can. Not in the storm. We've got to get the boat up and out of water. We can't stop the leak." And so the captain had the entire crew running the pumps, manning the pumps, trying to pump the water out as fast as it came in. And it wasn't, they couldn't. Finally, the captain, in desperation, went and said, "Is there anything that we can do?" And the man looked at the captain and he said, "Yes, sir, there's one thing we can do. If we send somebody down there, it's just above the waterline. And if they take their body and push it in the hole and then reach out on the outside of the ship and pull themselves into it, it'll slow down the leak enough that we might be able to get the pumps to stay ahead of the leak until we get to England. First, we have to lighten the ship." And so they started throwing everything overboard. And finally, the captain called the crew and had them stand on the deck of the ship. And he called out to the crew and he said, "We need a volunteer. You might not make it, lads, but you'll save the rest of your crew. And a lot like most churches, when nominating committee is looking for people, no one would make eye contact with the captain. Captain called out again, "If somebody doesn't volunteer, we're all gonna die." And finally, a young man came forward and he stood before the captain. He said, "Captain, sir, I'm willing to do it." And the captain looked at this young man, and in the young man's eyes, he saw the eyes of his own wife. It was the captain's son who was volunteering for the position. And he said, "No, son, anybody else? Nobody else would volunteer?" He said, "Man the pumps," and the pumps couldn't keep up. Finally, the young man went again and said, "Father, please send me down. We're all gonna die." The father sent him down. This young man went down and put his arm through there and pulled himself in. And then the ship carpenter said, "Now we need to pump. We need to keep the water low enough so that the captain's son doesn't die." As they came sailing into port, captain knew that he had lost his son because of how low the ship was sitting in the water. You see, friends, you are that precious to God. Jesus tells story after story about the pearl of great price. You are the pearl of great price, the pearl that God is willing to sell everything for in order to save you. God imperiled heaven. You got to realize, friends, that if Jesus had not been successful on the cross, God would have had to concede heaven to the devil. And we know that Christ was uncertain because upon his resurrection, when Mary came to him, Mary Magdalene came to them, she said, "Mary, don't touch me because I haven't returned to my Father to see if my sacrifice was enough." God loves you so much that he gambled heaven to take you home. I don't understand it. I don't understand God's love. I cannot plumb the depths of God's love. But I will tell you something. In modern economics, something is only worth as much as somebody is willing to pay for it. Listen, gold is a pretty worthless metal. It's soft. It's mushy. You can't make a knife out of gold. It'll fall apart. The only plus with God is that their gold is it doesn't corrode, but it's useless. What makes it worth anything is some moron is willing to pay $1,000 for an ounce of the stuff. That's it. Friends, you are worth all of heaven. You are worth God's only son, his true soulmate, his best friend. God thinks that you are to die for tonight. God loves you that much that he was willing to do everything possible to counteract the sin of Adam and Eve so that you and I will have a chance at eternal life. And the question I have with you today in closing, is that enough for you? Is that enough for you? And if it is, the call line is going to come on your screen. And I want you to call the pastor, and I want you to call that prayer line, and I want you to ask that somebody pray for you tonight, that somebody connect with you tonight, that you can give your heart to the God who has already given you his heart. Do you understand that tonight? While we were still God's enemies, he died for us. While we were yet sinners, before we even knew him, before we even cared about him, he came and he died in order that we can be saved. You are the lost coin. You are the pearl of great price. You are the lost sheep. And God is looking for you tonight. If you're at home right now feeling isolated because of COVID-19, if you're at home and you're feeling like nobody loves you and nobody cares, if you're at home tonight wondering if you want to live till tomorrow, God loves you. Amen. And I want to invite you. Hopefully we'll get it on the screen. I want to invite you to call. Let us be part of the reconnection process and bring you back to the God whose only desire is to bring you back home. Text LTAH 954-388-8780. Again, please, tonight, let us know that God has touched your heart. Please text LTAH 954-388-8780 and let God know, thank you for loving me tonight. Father in heaven, I pray, Lord, please, for our audience tonight, wherever they are. And I pray, Lord, please, that your Spirit will enter their homes, enter their lives, and may they feel you in a tangible way this evening. And may they call that line so that we can work together, not alone. Friends, we were not designed to work our way to the kingdom by ourselves. You came down to us. Please bring us home. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'd like to pray for you tonight. Amazing Father, God in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thank you so much, dear Heavenly Father, for speaking to us tonight, for reminding us that you gave it all for us, that we have hope because of you. Oh, Lord in heaven, tonight, I want to pray for every individual that tuned in to hear your voice, to hear your message. I'd like to pray for the lonely. I'd like to pray for the ill. I'd like to pray for he that has a need, for she that has a need, but doesn't know what that need is. I want to pray for all tangible needs tonight because you can fill all needs. I want to pray tonight for salvation for each individual on the line tonight. I want to pray that each individual, dear Heavenly Father, could know you, could see you, could hear you, and that their hearts melt at the knock of Jesus Christ on their hearts so that he can dwell within them, within each individual tonight. I pray, dear Lord, that all hope is not lost and that everyone knows this. I pray that you reveal yourself in a mighty way to everyone tuning in tonight. Because you are God, because you are Lord, and because you have a plan. That plan of salvation that keeps us sane. That plan of salvation that gives us hope. That plan of salvation that allows us to think and to know that there is a better world and a better way of living. And so, dear Heavenly Father, I give you everyone tonight. I give you our children. I give you our family members. I give you us. We are in need of the Master. Come, dear Heavenly Father, come soon and take us with you. Thank you, dear God, for everything. In Christ's name we pray, amen. I'd like to remind you to text the pastor line for prayer or for simply to make a commitment to serve the Lord Jesus. And now all glory to God who is able to keep you from falling away and bring you with great joy onto his glorious presence without a single fault. All glory to him who alone is God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are his before all time and in the present and beyond all time. Amen. Please join us tomorrow. We can't wait to see you. God bless.
This podcast was brought to you by Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Christ-centered congregation dedicated to spreading the good news of God's love through sermons, deeper dive conversations, and much more. If you would like to listen to more life lessons and inspirational content, please visit us at plantationsda.tv.